Wisconsin's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. We're going a little bit off the reservation with today's topic. We're talking about rugby. I got the idea to cover something that you would do on a field rather than out in the wild when I saw a photograph of a new rugby pitch here in Anchorage, up in the Chugach Mountains with amazing views. It's the product of one man's imagination and drive, and we'll have him here to talk about this amazing personal project. Along the way, I learned that rugby is exploding in Alaska with a big youth program and lots of adults playing, international teams coming to visit, and even some Anchorage kids making it to international play. This may be the last thing you thought you wanted to know about, but the enthusiasm of these rugby players is totally contagious. And as you listen to our interview, I'll bet you'll pick up on it too. So please stay tuned to Outdoor Explorer on Rugby. So for this half of the show, I've got a couple of rugby players and more than a rugby players, the guy who actually built this amazing field, Justin Green is here. He's with owner of Alaska Demolition, right, Justin?
Yes.
Yeah. And Ben Moore, who is a board member of the Alaska Rugby Foundation and a rugby player. And yep. Thanks for being here, Ben.
Yeah.
So tell me about rugby. Like, it's something like football, except you don't wear any pads, right? And you never stop running. And you bang into each other all the time. And it looks kind of crazy. I mean, if you don't know what's going on, it's like, from an American viewer, it seems very, very, like, different.
Yeah. So there's a whole... there's a whole culture and mythology that comes along with rugby, but really the kind of the origin story for rugby that most people listen to is 100, 150 years ago, something like that. Webb Ellis playing soccer at the rugby school in England and decided just to pick up the ball and run with it instead of kicking it. And so rugby was born. And that's why we still refer to it. It's any club you'll see out there. Like, I play for the Bird Creek Barbarians, and you'll see RFC at the end of any given thing. It's Rugby Football Club.
Huh.
So a lot of the rules are very similar to soccer.
Oh, really? I never knew that.
Yeah. In that there's, you know, if the ball goes out of bounds, you throw it back in over your head. The clock never stops. It's 2 40-minute halves. But then there's also a lot of similarities to American football. So American football and rugby sort of diverged from one another in the early 1900s. Hmm. And yeah, it's just an incredible sport. But no, you know, the thing that's frustrating about American football is you'll watch it on TV and there's 3 minutes of ads and breaks for 15 seconds of action.
Yeah.
But rugby never stops.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, tackle football is a game that nobody really plays anymore unless they are, you know, high school, college, or mm-hmm. professional. It's not like people might play tag football at Thanksgiving or something, but
yep.
but it sounds like rugby is a game that regular people actually play.
We had teams up here, old boys teams with guys that are in their 50s, 60s, I think seniors probably 70-something, yeah. was out there playing full-speed tackle rugby. And it's actually a lot safer than people think.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, we can talk about that as much as you want. But
yeah,
and there's something about it. I mean, if you really want to start to sort of wax philosophical about rugby, it is a sport that is built for Alaskans. This whole idea of being rugged and individualistic, but relying on a team to make something happen, and then having beers together afterwards. Uh-huh. I mean, you'll bloody each other up, and a big part of the game is the social element on the other side.
Get over it, yeah.
Yeah.
So Justin, it sounds like you got into this game to the extent that you actually went out and built your own field, which I've seen the images of it in the newspaper, which is what made me think I got to meet this guy, because got to have these guys in the studio, because I cannot believe that somebody did this. It's a field of dreams. Like, it's a gorgeous, beautiful rugby field that's attracting people from all over the world.
Yep, that's.
And it's in the mountains above Anchorage.
I don't think I ever thought it was going to be this big, but we've got teams from all around the world that want to come right now. It's a really good thing. I mean, I'm kind of a little bit speechless on that part because I never thought it was going to be this big. But I knew we needed something here in the world in Alaska. I knew at one moment. I just remember looking at the rugby world map and going, God, there's just nothing in this corner of the world, and we've got to do something to get, you know. And I grew up with the sport, playing in England. I went to a private boarding school. My coach used rugby. We were three boys from Eagle River that were, oh, running wild. Our mother kind of lost control of us, and they sent us to boarding school. Next thing, this headmaster says, I got to use rugby to break these kids in, and it kind of, you know, it kind of turned into a passion of mine.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. a crazy story. Mm-hmm. So, you started out as a kid who liked to bang into other kids. So this is like worked. This is a perfect thing for you.
And pretty also, rough Alaskan kid.
You also went into the demolition business, which kind of fits that too.
Fits the mentality.
Yeah,
correctly.
Yeah. You'd rather than knock the blocks down rather than build them up.
Well, I tell you what, that's part of reason why I became such a successful demolition company is because I actually hired. I started the company with my rugby team.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I think it worked out pretty well with them, as you probably can tell.
So, yeah. So. What was the situation before you built this field? Was there just a lack of fields up here?
Well, we definitely had a lack of fields. We also had a lack of players, and there was absolutely no youth. So that we're always trying. I mean, personally, I knew I had to bring the sport home to Alaska, and seeing it grow around the world, it is the number two most played sport in the world,
wow.
behind soccer, and as you know, it's an international sport, and I think and right now I know we all know what's happened. America has finally woken up, going, okay. We're playing football with each other, which is a great sport, and I love watching. I played some of it, but people have realized there's an international thing going on, and then we're missing out. And rugby is that international thing, and it's played all around the world, and the club doors from every club around the world are open to any rugby player in the world, and you can play at any age, and there is a spot on
this
a rugby team.
This is the
team.
Social aspect that Ben was talking about.
Yep, and you can play. There's a position for every person. It doesn't matter.
Huh. And that's beyond the social side. Is the for full side rugby, whether you're, you know, if you're a 300-pound just giant of a person, or if you're 120 pounds and just quick, there's a spot on the field for you. Every different type of body type, every type of physical presence that you can bring, if you have, you know, some thought about being athletic, there's a spot for you on the rugby pitch,
wow.
which is it's a really democratizing sport. It's very cool. Yeah.
So tell me, I don't want to stick with the story of the field for a couple mm-hmm. of minutes because it's kind of a mind blower. So when did you sort of get the idea that I'm going to take this upon myself to build the field?
Well, when I realized we had like three rugby teams up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like I told you, I had to bring this sport home. I needed to help it grow. And I knew, you know, I knew we needed to help it grow in America too. So I just said, we've got to do something. And one thing that is a very popular you want to call it a base for a rugby club is their clubhouse. It preserves mm-hmm. their history. It brings people together for socials. I mean, I knew we needed something like that, and I knew that that was one way that was going to grow the sport here.
Mm-hmm.
And before I knew it, while I was building it, you know, people just came. The Alaska Rugby Union came together and said, "Let's get behind Justin and keep this going," because they knew I was really going to do it, especially when I started turning the dirt over and I had the plans, and everybody got behind, and then it happened, and then the teams from around the world wanted to come, and then we knew if we want to compete with the world, our plan now is to make Alaska Rugby International recognized, which it is, but we'd like to have a team that will represent Alaska internationally, which is happening right now, was we needed to provide, we needed teams, and it needed to be, you want to say, uplifted by a good youth program, and that's where we've started. And now we have about 600 kids registered, 400 kids are showing up, four programs, two have morphed into one to become stronger. And Ben, I'll let Ben tell you a little more about that. But we needed that.
But in terms of, did you just build it at your house, or did you go out and buy a piece of land, or how did you do this?
Well, I knew I needed a piece of land that was big enough.
Yeah,
I
really.
I needed something that...
And flat, too.
Yeah, well, as flat as possible. Obviously, I didn't find the flattest piece I could, but we made it flat with a lot of work. But I looked at probably four or five properties on the hillside in Anchorage. You know, at one time, I was, you know, when the bridge was going to come through, I really wanted to put it out at Big Lake. I had 40 acres out there that I had planned for it. And that kind of didn't happen because I didn't, you know, I knew I had my work was here in Anchorage. I didn't want to go back and forth.
Too long a drive.
Yeah. And I just it just, I found the right piece up there, and it worked out well. The owners worked with me on owner mm-hmm. finance. I mean, I had no money back then, and I was just starting this demolition company because I knew we had to figure out a way to make money. And the best thing about demolition is you can recycle the products, and that's how, you know, we built, you know, the everything up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, so as much as we could.
So when you tore a building down, you say, oh, that looks good. I'll take that for the rugby yeah, car class.
Exactly. I was collecting for about 10 years. I was collecting material to build that place.
So how long did this whole project take you?
So I bought the property about around 9/11 is when it actually wow. I done. I just know that date because that's about when it closed.
Mm-hmm, 2000.
Yeah, and then we started clearing land, and I started, you know, collecting materials. And to repeat your question again, what mm-hmm. was that again?
Well, just how long it took you to do this whole thing?
The house itself took about 5 years. The land itself took about 10.
Wow.
Ten, yeah.
Wow. And that's dedication.
Yeah, it's been a long. I tell you, there's sometimes I said, what am I doing? But people would show up there and come see the construction while I was in there. I took the time and paid attention to them and their eyes and what they were saying. That was kind of like an inspiration to keep going because mm-hmm. people were like, whoa, wow, oh, this is going to be incredible, you know. And I, of course, my head was, you know, down in the grind, and uh-huh. I didn't see anything except for all the problems and all the stress that yeah. came along with it.
Must yeah. have been fantastic to have your first game there, huh?
It was. That was actually a very, I would say, a teary moment, Ben. Yeah. You were there, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I played.
And we had all the old boys come up for an inauguration game, and uh-huh. and it was definitely a moment that, wow.
What is this?
Pretty sure we let you run away for a try, and you dropped the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ben, what was this mean for the local rugby sort of community to have this field, you know, come into existence?
It's been incredible. So rugby has been active in Alaska for 45 years or so.
Wow.
And it comes through, you know, kind of fits and starts. Sometimes there's a lot of teams. For a while there, Valdez had a team, Homer had a team, Juneau would bring a team up, right? Governor Cooper was an active mm-hmm. player. He'd be out mm-hmm. on the pitch even when he was governor. So it's gone through these waxing and waning, but there's always been a core group of folks that kind of keep that ember going. Justin's pitch has thrown gasoline on that fire, right? We've seen our youth programs explode. We've seen international interest and touring teams just go off the charts. And those touring teams are nice because it gives us a chance to play against different styles of play against people that have much better skills than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us all better. And so it's really been a matter of now we've also been able to put in structure around this explosion that Justin has given us
yeah.
and really capitalize on it. Our adult teams are skyrocketing. Our kids program is one of the best in the nation.
Yeah.
It's been great.
And I want to talk all about that in the second
but it's
half,
all but been triggered really
yeah.
by the pitch.
I was reading about how you had these different international teams and these players of very, very high caliber there mm-hmm. recently who all expressed themselves to be blown away by the facility. How did that kind of stuff happen?
So that was, you know, it's, although there's a lot of players out there, it's also kind of a small world. Mm-hmm. And there's enough of our old guys and enough connections that Justin and other rugby players have around the world with other guys that we've just, maybe it's somebody you've played with, played against, maybe it's just somebody you ran into in a pub and you struck up a conversation about rugby and now you've got a friend, you know, friend for life. So uh-huh. it's those kinds of connections. And so this has been a relationship that Justin has been working on with Hamish
yep.
for years.
From New Zealand.
Uh-huh. And so Hamish, you know, just brought one of the clubs that he sponsors uh-huh. up.
What's it like having that many visitors come at once?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I can't explain.
You're showing them Alaska, right?
Yeah. And we had over 600 people visit Alaska to come play on that rugby field this year out of out of a total of like 22, 12 or sorry, I think there was one tournament that had 22 teams, but there was a mixture of Alaska teams mm-hmm. in there.
Yep.
And that, but in total, we've had over 22 teams, I think, visit, or no, I should say 15 teams plus another. So about 17 teams from came around and came up to visit Alaska, and that was about approximately around 600 people. And that's a lot of people to come see Alaska.
So you're showing them around, and so they want to know, they want to go hiking and go boating and do all the Alaska stuff.
Well, and it's not just players either. You've got folks that are coming up on vacation anyways that are making a special day trip and reaching out to us. Hey, you know, we've seen the stories about it. We've seen the World Rugby stories. Can we just come up? We want to see the pitch. People they're coming through on a cruise, or they're coming through for business, that are just making one-off trips up there too, just because they want to come see the place. Not that they want to play on it. Just they want to.
That's pretty. It's really neat because I get to hear each individual story and I get my own time with them. And of course, I can't imagine all the people that I miss, because there's a lot of people that show up and I'm not there, or the gate's closed or something.
Right.
But I can always tell when it's someone that wants to come up, because they sit at the bottom of the gate and I can see them, and they're thinking, should we come up? Should we walk up? As soon as I see that, if I'm there, I always walk out and I know it's a rugby fan, and I'm like, please come on up. And then I get to hear the story, and it's a professional ex-player from France, or it's someone from New Zealand that loves rugby and doesn't even play, but just wants to see it and bring photos back for their family. That, you know, it's just, there's players from all around the world show up that are visiting Alaska that just want to come say hi. And that is another really motivating thing that just gets me that realizes, hey, we're doing the right thing.
That's really fun. And that shows how special it is. Yeah. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Woolforth. And we're talking today about rugby, not your usual outdoor show topic, but I heard about this rugby pitch, I guess it's called. I would have called it a field, that was built in Anchorage by my guest Justin Green. Just decided he'd build it. You know, it's like in the Field of Dreams. And they did come. He built it and they did come. Justin is the owner of Alaska Demolition and obviously a rugby player. And Ben Moore is a board member of the Alaska Rugby Foundation, also a player. So what is the difference between a rugby pitch and just like a football field? Is it just a 100-yard by 30-yard field, or?
Yeah, just slight technical differences. Mm-hmm. So a rugby pitch is typically wider than a football field is. And it's a little bit deeper. So you need about 120 meters or so to put in a proper rugby pitch, and about 50 meters wide.
75 meters is full size.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got. We have a full size international regulation rugby field here in Alaska.
Yeah. And in terms of the differences between American football and rugby, one you mentioned is the clock never stops, the play is continuous.
Yeah.
Another is you guys are not wearing any pads or helmets or anything like that. You're just running around.
Yeah.
Which I want to get into sort of the safety aspect. But then also, how do you can run with the ball, but you can't throw it forward?
That's correct. Yeah. So you can kick it forward. So that's the only way the ball can move. You either carry it or kick it forward.
Okay.
If you're going to pass it, it's either got to be, you got to pass it backwards, or you can hand it off to a player backwards.
Yeah. And like soccer, I guess you could have like maybe offsides, but you don't have like a line of scrimmage like you have in football. You just sort of keep going.
Yeah. So if say a guy gets tackled, and what will often happen is what's called a ruck is formed. So people will kind of fight over the top of him for control, and they'll try to step over the ball, because if you've stepped over it, now the ball's on your side. You've moved that scrimmage line, and your team can pick it up.
I see. So you can't touch it until you've done that.
Yeah.
And that's that thing where everybody is down, leaning over and pushing.
So that's slightly different. That's a scrum.
Okay.
Where everybody's... So the ruck is formed just in the normal course of play. And so they'll fight over the top of the ball. Somebody will come in and pick it up and throw it backwards to another player. Mm-hmm. And then the play will start again. They'll start running again.
I see.
The scrum is a result of a penalty, where you've got eight guys on either side of the ball that line up, press into each other, and push for control.
Yeah. Yep. So this is a super physical, high contact game. Why do people not get killed?
Particularly if you're a forward. Yeah. If you play in the front, it can be very physical.
I mean, you're getting tackled. It's a full tackle type situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a very, very, very special way to tackle in rugby, and that's why the sport is so safe.
Yeah.
You have to tackle below the chest and above the knees, you want to say.
Yep.
And you have to do what they call a wrap. And each player doesn't have pads on, so you don't want to run in there with your head first and hurt your own self. So you're always, at the same time as protecting yourself, you're protecting that other player by this style of tackling, and you tackle. Yeah. And in American football, they're two very different sports. In American football, it's all about the gain line. You don't want them to make yardage, so you're trying to stop them in the tracks, push them back if you can. In rugby, that's not what we're all about. What we're about is we don't mind if they gain a couple yards. We like to use their momentum to bring them down. So that's why they can gain a couple yards. We slide down their legs and they fall over. Next thing, like Ben said, a ruck will form. Now, we do have the one-on-one, when we get to the end zone, or what they call the try zone line. That is where we do play it like American football, and we try and stop them in the tracks because we don't want them to get over the line. So it does get quite physical, but that's the only time it gets extremely physical.
Mm. Yeah, because you're not shooting for four downs to stop somebody from going 10 yards. If they go 10 yards, who cares? As long as you get the ball down and you can try to get control of the ball. Yeah, generally it's use their momentum to carry them forward. I always tell when we're training new players, you put your hard parts, like your shoulders, into their soft bits, like their belly, right? Mm-hmm. So you put your shoulder into their belly, wrap them up really well. But Justin's exactly correct. Nobody's wearing padding out there.
It's not for ribs, huh?
Well, no, but not many sports are.
Yeah, right. But I mean, you're not, it's for contact. You're knocking each other down.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to get your wind knocked out. You're probably going to get, some... maybe a bloody nose and bumped around and that kind of thing. And that's sort of all part of the fun.
And and it's one of the beauties of the sport. It makes it completely approachable. The only equipment you need to play rugby is a pair of cleats and a mouth guard.
Yep.
You don't have to invest hundreds of dollars in skates and pads and helmets and all that stuff. Just $15 and you're in.
Huh. Well, here in Alaska, we all have jobs. We love to do our outdoor activities.
Yeah.
We don't want to get hurt. So that's why we play a level of rugby that's safe for everybody and fun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. So when these international guys come in, are they a little bit more intense?
They are. There's no doubt. And that's when we will hand pick players that want to go play that intense, because we have that level. We're able to. That's a nice thing about Alaska. And that's one thing that I wanted to make sure, is that why we wanted to have the youth. We wanted to have a social. We wanted to have old boys. We want to have advanced level. We call it the Alaska Select Team. We'll pick those players because we want to offer the world a variety of rugby, so we can cater to who shows up here to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, currently right now, if I'm right, I've heard rumor that we have 150 teams trying to come up here right now. And how do you do that? So our best thing is we've got to hand pick. We've got to find out who is more serious, who will be the best people to come up to Alaska to help us, promote rugby. And who do we want to share Alaska with, which is really everybody. We don't want to stop anybody from coming up. But at the same time, we've got some issues
it's a matter of matching.
How is the word getting out to these folks? Is it that you're getting written up in different websites
it's
and magazines?
People that have come up here that are spreading the word.
A lot of it is word of mouth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it. There's been, particularly the first couple of years was word of mouth. World Rugby did do a piece on the pitch a couple of months ago that went out and people saw it all over the world. Yeah. But most of it's just word of mouth.
And it's part. I mean, it's going to Alaska, and it's. It sounds like your pitch is like up in the mountains. They've got a nice view.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, my plan was always to. I need to build a field where if someone kicks the ball out of touch, it ends up in downtown Anchorage. I wanted it to feel like that. There's no doubt. I mean, I really was passionate about wanting something very special to share with the world.
So that's why they say this is one of the most beautiful fields they've ever played on. It's not just that there's nice turf. It's like this incredible view around it.
The setting, very and the clubhouse. Yeah. And I mean, as everyone knows, it's really Alaska is a beautiful place. And it's wonderful right now that we're this part of the world we're sharing with another part of the world. I mean, rugby's as you know, I'm very passionate about it.
I can tell.
You definitely are talking to the right guy about rugby right now. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what are your dreams of where this goes? I mean, are you thinking like we end up with some like a world famous team from Alaska, or I mean, that's sort of focusing on just the elite, right? It sounds like you're more interested in like bringing it to everyone.
I definitely want to. Oh, that's what rugby's all about. It is for everyone. There's like we were talking about before, but I definitely would. I mean, I get asked this a lot, and of course the goal keeps changing because it gets better, because we reach a goal and now we're because all we wanted originally was just like, hey, we just need a good successful youth program. Well, we got that now. Okay, we need some more teams in Alaska. We got that now. We need some teams to start coming up to play us. We got that. So the goals keep changing, but I can tell you right now, I think the ultimate is for Alaska to be recognized for USA Rugby, which has already given us the word that we'll let you represent us we'll let you represent USA Rugby for the Arctic Nations, and it's to start the Arctic Nation, because all the Northern Hemisphere, or the Arctic Nations, Finland, you know, the
Scandinavia, Russia,
which is the eight Arctic Nations, they're ready too. They've got a lot of rugby going on, and they don't. We don't have a structured league, you want to say, and we're all on the same. At the same hemisphere, so we have the same seasons, and I know, like, for example, Finland struggles to go play because the only people they have to dip down into the hemisphere to go play Greece, but it's more likely on their off season because the lower hemisphere has a different season.
Now, if
we can all be on one season, the same, and I think that's a goal for Alaska to be able to represent USA and the Arctic Nations.
Like the rest of the country plays, they usually play later in fall is when they start, and it's a winter sport for them.
A little harder here in Alaska.
So it's a winter sport. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and so we wrap up. We actually have to – we work it out with USA Rugby. This is a silly detail nobody cares about. But we have to work it out with USA Rugby because they do renewals for your registration every August because that's sort of when preseason training starts.
Right.
Well, for us, August is right when we're coming up towards the end of our season.
Right.
So we have to get special waivers from them so that we can extend our seasons a couple months. But
so you're kind of opposite from what the rest of the world is.
Yeah. So we really start we start practicing usually in May, and then games start for real in June.
Yep.
And then we play through August.
In England, do they play in the winter too?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
So, well, the big thing right now, if you ask me where are we going, what do we want to do, what are the goals now? I would love to see lots more teams visiting Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely need some more fields. This new mayor is working with us really well, and he's going to help us with some more fields. We've got some plans for some more, which we can't wait to introduce to Anchorage because it's going to do a lot more than just be fields.
It doesn't have to be built by one guy, maybe.
Well, it'll be the whole of Anchorage. We've got a plan. Remember, we only need landscape dirt, which is really the junk dirt that everybody's getting rid of, but we've got some plans in motion with John Rada and Mayor Ethan Berkowitz to make something happen because we got to accommodate
we've got to
accommodate all these teams that are coming to Alaska.
That's cool.
There was just an email going around earlier today. We've just about run out of pitches and referees.
Wow.
So we need more of both.
But I mean, can you just play like in a high school football field? Does that work, or is it just
so a lot of the turf fields up here don't meet rugby? So International Rugby Board has very particular standards for their fields and for their tackle turf.
Is that a safety thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Rumor is that the turf that they're going to get for Sullivan Arena is going to be
They call it World Rugby approved. Yeah.
It'll be rugby approved.
So we
might get a winter training season in if that happens.
But we can have can fill the seats. Yeah. You know, the Aces couldn't do it, but you can do it, right? maybe not.
Maybe not.
It's not the goal.
But we'll have a great time doing it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Is it is this a sport where physical fitness is a really high premium, or is it more like muscle and finesse?
Do we look fit to you?
Not too bad.
It's both.
If you're going to play it at a more advanced level,
because I mean, I think about football, soccer. You know, you got to be really, really fit because you're running the entire time. Right?
But there's also rec league soccer where. True. You know, there where you don't have to be.
Right.
You're just out there to have a great time.
Right.
Yeah. So it's that same spectrum with rugby too.
Yeah. And like I said, we have advanced and social. So where I could say beginners. And we started a program called Rugby 101. And I think we're going to probably do that program again just to get a lot of players out there to come see what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I'll probably share that website with you when we get that going. But we need to do that for next summer. We'll do that and let a lot of people come out and give it a try. But for fitness level, for advanced rugby, yes, absolutely. I mean, the All Blacks, number one team in the world, those are the fittest, I would say, athletes in the world, rugby athletes, because you go 80 minutes nonstop, full go, you know, of course, the ref whistle will stop sometimes. You do have a half time.
Well, there's also this muscle aspect of it, too. It's not just running.
But just remember, there's tiny rugby players out there, too,
uh-huh.
but definitely for advanced shape, good shape. For us, what we do play, we play social and old boys. You know, you can come off. We have different little easier rules that let players change out when they want to.
Yeah. Well, in the second half, we're going to talk to another local rugby enthusiast and more about how you can get involved and learn to play the game, which is like starting to sound really, really fun. You might not want to you know, the general public might not want to just think about rugby like 24/7, like my guess, but to definitely get into the sport and kids getting into it too. It just sounds like a really new.
Well, Charles, you should come out sometime.
I would love to.
I'm serious. You should come out and just give it a run, see what it's like, or at least just come watch a game.
I would. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in, you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having us.
And Justin Green, he's the president of Alaska Demolition, and he built the field. Mm-hmm. And so he is like, you might say, the father of, or the godfather, at least, of rugby in Alaska. And thanks for the community for doing that. That's awesome.
Well, absolutely. And thank you for the community for accepting us and supporting us. It's been fantastic. And, I mean, we've got a lot more to come. And let's all work together here and make rugby great and make Alaska great, I guess. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring the Trump line up. But, but you know what I'm saying. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely.
And let's have a really good time and enjoy this.
And you're doing it. You're making it happen. And Ben Moore, who's a board member of Alaska Rugby Foundation, thanks for coming in, Ben.
Sure thing. Happy to be here.
All right. Stay with us, folks. Outdoor Explorer continues. Learn more about how you can get into the sport and get your kids into it.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth, and today we are talking about rugby, not the typical outdoor topic, but you do play it outdoors, and it is amazingly becoming more and more of an Alaskan sport. As we heard in the first half, we have this amazing rugby pitch here in Anchorage, kind of up in the mountains, and people are coming from all over the world to play there because it's so beautiful and it's so unique, and it's been covered in world media, and that's helped spark a renaissance of rugby playing here in Anchorage. And so in the second half of the show, I thought we'd talk about how you could get involved as somebody who's active. You know, maybe you want to try playing rugby or watch it or get your kids involved. Sounds like there are a lot of benefits to it. And to talk about that, I have Judd Wattenberger, who's a member of the Alaska Rugby Union and has coached and worked with kids and played on his own ever since college, and an enthusiast, just like our first half. That was the thing, Judd, about talking to your buddies, is that like the enthusiasm levels is contagious. And even though I know virtually nothing about rugby, now I feel like, oh yeah, this is great.
You want to give it a shot, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And how hard is it to give it a shot? I mean, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that most people would immediately think, oh, I'm going to go out and do this. But from what I've been hearing, you know, you don't have to have a skull of steel to do this, right?
No, you really don't. There's a lot of ways to enter the game as an adult or as even a youth player. As an adult, we're gonna spend a lot of time trying to recruit newer people because that's how you grow the game. Mm-hmm. We typically offer yearly or every other year, we offer a program called Rugby 101. And it's typically a two-week-long program that's kind of an introduction boot camp. You know, we get a lot of guys.
Because you're getting people showing up who probably don't even know the rules of the game.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Yeah. And so we need to show people, okay, what's this goofy looking white oblong ball and what do I do with it? Uh-huh. You know, and how do I run downfield? And oh, you mean I can't throw it forward like a football? Or, you know, the various assorted little rules. You know, people come to us, they've seen it maybe in town. You know, we have a much more visible presence now because we have the pitch on the park strip at 10th and M, which has really, really opened up the visibility for the game. And certainly Justin's field has done a lot for the visibility of the game in Anchorage. So we have a lot of people asking, well, what is this and how do I get into it? So the Rugby 101 is a good approach to do this. That won't be happening until probably next spring. Uh-huh. Over the winter, if anybody's interested, we will be doing indoor leagues. We have a touch rugby league.
Oh, cool.
And then we coach the kids throughout
the winter. Might be a good place to start, huh?
It's a really good place to start because you can see how the game develops before you start crashing into people. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and we do get a fair amount of people that were or are hockey players, football players, other impact type sports, which kind of makes sense.
Sure. I mean,
but we get guys that are soccer players, tennis players, and women. I should certainly not exclude women because we have a very large contingent of ladies that play in Alaska. So that's the easiest way to get into it is through one of the 101 programs or through some of the winter programs that we'll be running.
Yeah. What about watching the games? Are they scheduled at times when people could come down and sort of check it out and just sort of talk to players?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to see it. there's actually two versions of the game that are played. And version is pretty easy to watch, and one is a little less user-friendly because there's more people on the field. So in one version, we have 7 players per side. It's the same size field. It's that big soccer field, essentially. Uh-huh. And so if you have 14 people on the field total versus the 15 players per side, that becomes a little more chaotic because now you have 30 players running all different directions, doing all sorts of things.
Well, the 7 on a side, that you must be running your legs off when you do that.
It's one of the hardest things I've ever done athletically. Yeah. I mean, you spend, it's a funny thing. The halves are only 7 minutes. It doesn't seem that long, but it's the longest 7 minutes of your life. You take a 1 minute halftime and then you do another 7 minutes. So the fitness level has to be pretty high. And mm-hmm. generally the fitness level of rugby players is very, very high because you spend a lot of time covering a lot of field and, mm-hmm. you know, skills of passing, pushing, tackling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And there's no breaks. I mean, you're always
there's no breaks at all. It's very much like a soccer or hockey clock that the only time you get a break is if somebody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying go see one of these 7 on a player's games and you'll be able to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, it's a little easier to watch. Mm-hmm. We've just had a large tournament in town, so that'll be next July before that happens again. But YouTube is a really good resource. If your listeners want to jump on YouTube and look up Sevens Rugby, they can watch American players. In fact, a member of the New England Patriots played for the American team in the rugbies this year, or in Olympics this year. And you can certainly watch, you know, Sevens World Cup. There's a Sevens series that travels around internationally to 10 different stops, and it starts up in about a month, and it'll go every few weeks all winter long. So you get to see rugby from Dubai, from New Zealand, from Las Vegas, actually in March. That's a great venue, actually, to go down and see a lot of good rugby. Huh. And the Sevens game, it's very, very fast, but it's certainly easier to see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We will also be hosting an Old Boys team. And now Old Boys rugby is really anybody over 35.
Okay.
They consider us old at
that
point.
I guess I'd be ancient, yeah.
Yeah. So there will be an Old Boys team coming up from British Columbia. And they will be at Justin's place on September 8th and 9th. In fact, you'll see my smiling face running around on the field those days. And that's a good place to see the game, too, because it's a really family-friendly environment. He's developed a really wonderful place to be able to watch the game, to be included. It's very, very low-key.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good place to see rugby in Alaska as well.
Yeah.
So YouTube is probably the best resource if people just want to say, what is this? How do I look at this?
But so the schedule, I'm sure the club probably has a website where you can find out the schedule.
Yeah, if you go on the Alaska Rugby Union Facebook page, it's a really, really great resource. It's been maintained well. The schedules are up there.
And we'll link to that from outdoorexplorer.org if folks want to find it.
That would be perfect. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. We're closing in on the end of our regular union season.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be a lot more. There's a few more games, but we get into more of these fall kind of special things, people visiting, certainly at this point in the year.
Yeah. I am so impressed that you've got this international link where all these players from all over the world are coming. And you were saying that there's even some players from Anchorage who were competing at the Olympics and competing at the international level.
So we've had two ladies from Eagle River actually make our national team, Lori Clifford and Alev Kelter. And Alev has gone on to make the Olympic team. And it was actually a really wonderful experience. We watched the Olympics with my children, watching people they knew. The United States team had been up here the previous fall. They'd put on camps. We'd had dinner with them. My kids got to meet, you know, these ladies who are at this really, really high level athletically. And then we sat and watched the games from the other side of the world saying, look, there's Alev. And there's the captain, and there's Jane, and there's, you know, all these people that we had met.
Oh, cool.
And it really solidified it for my girls that, wow, this is something that I could be a part of, and I know these people. And Alev has gone to give back. She's done a couple of camps up here at different levels, you know, from the little kids all the way up to the high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And then USA Rugby has also been up here to help us develop coaches, to develop referees. And also during the winter, they put on a workshop for some of the local teachers. So some of our local PE teachers were able to get continuing education credits to learn to teach rugby to their kids in the school. And just as a plug, that'll be happening again this winter. Our teachers can get some continuing ed credit through, I believe it's through APU. So it's becoming more and more pervasive in the school. So when you have national and international level players come, it really helps to develop the game.
I'm really impressed that your club has gotten this active and you've got this many things going on. I mean, it sounds like a really sort of something that's really blossoming and really going somewhere in terms of just all the stuff that's happening.
Well, we have some people that are really, really passionate about the game mm-hmm. who are in charge of the union right now, and that's been a real blessing for us. Uh-huh. Justin's Field certainly has been a major catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this thing consistently winds up being in the top 10 most beautiful pitches on the planet. And it's far and away the most pretty place, the most pretty, it was great English, right? The most beautiful place I've ever played. Uh-huh. It's actually borderline distracting because you're looking at the scenery versus the giant person running your way.
Right. That could be dangerous.
It can be a little bit, yeah. But it's given us this really wonderful catalyst to grow the game.
Uh-huh.
It's one of these things that you'll find that rugby players tend to be very, very passionate about the game. It's a little bit left of center, mm-hmm. so it's not the thing that everybody's doing, and maybe that's part of the draw.
Mm-hmm. You're special, yeah.
It allows for all sorts of ages, ability levels, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, as we talked about briefly, you know, I started playing when I first went off to college, which has been more years ago than I care to mm-hmm. share publicly. But, you know, I've been in and out of the game at least that many years, and I intend to continue to play.
Yeah.
Because unlike
football, which you also played, it's a lifelong sport. You don't have to give it up as you get older.
That's exactly right. Yeah. There's ability, there's availability for you to play at an older level. There's even as guys age and want to have less violence done to them, you can wear certain color shorts, and it denotes, you know, we don't tackle this guy. Maybe we just touch him, or we surround him and don't even touch him. And they're still available to be out on the field to be.
I think that's really cool. I really like that.
It gives a really interesting dynamic because some of these experienced players give a lot of experience, a lot of strength to some of the guys who are younger and maybe still developing. Uh-huh.
But they're in an age where they don't want to get smeared into the turf because they could break something. Well, or whatever. Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of us that want to go out and play, but we still need to get up and go to work on Monday.
Right.
So it's good to not be broken or uh-huh. sore to the point you can't move.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's Outdoor Explorer. We're talking today about rugby and about the opportunity, you know, to get into this game that you may not even have ever seen played, you know, or maybe you've just seen little snippets of it. But there's this blossoming culture for it here in Alaska, which, as you're hearing, has had a lot of success and a lot of development, and also an opportunity for kids, which I want to get more into. And with me right now is Judd Wattenberger, who's with the Alaska Rugby Union. So tell me about this kids program. Is this a summer camp, or is it like classes, or what are you doing with the kids?
Awesome question. So the kids programs are running in three sessions right now. There's a summer session, which is the all hands on deck, more practice. And then there's generally two winter sessions. We'll run one from about October to December. They're typically a weekly practice. And then typically January on into March, even early April, again, a weekly practice. And so the summer session runs in four different locations. We have a group in Mountain View that meets at Davis Park. We have a group that meets on the park strip at the new field on 10th and M. We have a group that meets in Eagle River.
Wow, this is really something.
And then we have a group that meets on the south side of town, typically at Golden View Middle School. And I've actually been associated with the kids at Golden View, mm-hmm. specifically the mid-school and high school age. The organized groups start at 6 years old. And these kids clearly are not tackling each other. Well, inadvertently sometimes it happens.
They are off the field, right?
But off the field, yeah. So at that age, we're teaching them the basics of the game. We're teaching them how to run, how to carry a ball, how to pass. We play lots of fun games and make it a lot of fun for them to get out and just enjoy being out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
As we move up in the grades, we're able to teach them a little bit more complicated skills. This is what a game looks like. This is how an organized play happens. And then in that kind of older elementary age, we've introduced what internationally they refer to as RIPA rugby, which is basically flag rugby. And it allows these kids to play the game without the possibility of damaging each other.
Mm.
You know, it's played a flag game is played very much like regular rugby, just without people going to ground. And then once we get
kind
into
that. Kind
of like
that, flag football.
Very much like flag football. That's exactly right. And that's kind of the basis behind it. And then incidentally, there's RIPA rugby leagues for kids and adults internationally. You know, they've spread this out where kids are playing touch, they're playing RIPA, they're playing full contact. So there's lots of opportunities internationally as well. And then with the older kids, they are full impact. And this is young men and young women. These kids are tackling each other. We spend a tremendous amount of time teaching them how to be safe.
But they don't play co-ed, or do they?
No,
they're playing
separately. We've been able to split them out. We have enough players on both sides. That being said, a few of my female players have gotten a hold of some of the male players in practice and made their presence known. How's that for a nice way to put it? Some of these girls are tough, and some of them are absolutely fantastic athletes. Very fast, very aggressive, really learn the game quickly. And there's been a special push to strengthen the game for our female athletes. There is a fair amount of scholarship money available out in the greater world for rugby players. And many of the smaller colleges have started to pick up rugby because it's a fairly inexpensive game to play. It doesn't take a lot of equipment. Mm-hmm. You can use existing fields. And Title IX rules consider sevens rugby and the 15-a-side or 15s rugby as two separate programs. And so they're able to have some Title IX equity by bringing in these separate programs for young ladies. So there is opportunity after high school for these girls to get
out and play. So this is maybe one of those... not easy, but easier ways of getting scholarship money, getting into college, because there's a path there that they're looking for talent.
There is a pathway.
Easy is not the right word.
It's not the right word in that these are, you know, they're looking for fairly high level players and they're willing to develop these high level players. But it gives another outlet. I mean, as much as I love to see young ladies playing flag football in some of these sports, there's no money for flag football in college.
Right.
Not to bag on it. It's a great program. We love to have it. But there is some scholarship money available for girls on beyond high school. And Alaska has an interesting fact. We actually produce more female scholarship athletes on the collegiate level than we do male collegiate athletes. Mm. Lots of hockey players and soccer players coming out of Alaska, as it turns out.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, if you look at Alaska or you look at the United States on the world stage, we've struggled in male soccer, football, as they call it in other countries. Mm-hmm. But our women's team has like always been terrific, I guess, because we have Title IX and we encourage female athletes here as they don't necessarily encourage them everywhere else.
Right. There's been a strong, you're absolutely right. I believe there's been a strong developmental push for these young ladies at different levels in many sports. But yeah, soccer certainly. And for young men, there's a lot of distraction with football and some of the more marquee sports.
Do you feel like that's happened in rugby as well, where there's sort of like an opening up of opportunity for young women?
Oh, absolutely. You know, rugby's at a point, especially in Alaska, that it's kind of coming out of obscurity, which is a weird way to say it, because there's been active rugby in Alaska for over 35 years.
Right.
There've been, I mean, there's still a couple of teams playing here that were established in the 70s.
Hmm.
However,
it was always considered super fringe, though.
Yeah, very fringe. What are those weirdos doing over there tackling each other with no pads on? You know, it was always kind of that look. And we've really come into our own now. And there's been a real active push. I mean, the fact that we have actively come into the media, that we're building fields in the middle of town, that we're actively recruiting, that we're having this discussion today, that we're bringing Olympians up, that, you know, national level coaches are coming up and actually looking at our kids. You know, we did a camp last fall, and a couple of our kids were invited to go to a national level, like a U.S. national camp for high schoolers, which I found to be absolutely amazing that they're looking at our talent here.
Yeah.
In fact, we took our very first team outside of the state last year to a tournament in Las Vegas. So the largest amateur tournament in North America happens around the Las Vegas Sevens rugby stop in March. And so we took a high school team, actually two teams, I take that back, a mid-school and a high school team and a ladies team. So it was three teams total down to this tournament. And they got to go down and experience rugby on a greater level. Mm-hmm. And it was a really wonderful experience for these kids because they got to see this is what it looks like outside of Alaska.
And how does it look outside Alaska? How do we compare?
We're still growing. We're still developing, certainly. Mm-hmm. There are some states that are way ahead of us.
In the east, or where's the hot spot?
Kind of all over, actually. Yeah. You know, the state of Colorado is pretty well put together. Virginia is well put together. Hawaii's got a really lovely active program. California certainly is well organized, but California's quite large.
Yeah.
Texas is well put together. So there's a lot of states that have put together these solid programs, but they've been putting them together for the last 20 years, whereas our youth program now is 5 years old.
Right.
And we started with like 30 kids. And we're at the point now we have between 400 and 600 kids on our active roster
every
summer.
That rate of growth, it's an amazing rate of growth.
It's been a little bit painful.
Coming up with enough coaches must be a challenge.
Coming up with coaches can certainly be a challenge. And thankfully, we've had a lot of passionate people come out of the woodwork that want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are guys that have lived the rugby ethos for years and years and years. And now they want to give back to the game. You know, this is how I personally can give back to the game that I love. I can help bring up the next generation of players.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 6-year-old starting rugby now is the one who's going to be in my place a number of years down the road and perpetuate Alaska rugby. And so we see that vision that as we develop these players along the way, they're the ones that are going to carry it forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you the question that I think many parents would want me to ask right now, which is a safety question.
Yeah.
We're hearing so much about football and the head injury issue and the concussion issue. A lot of people are reconsidering if they even want their kid to play football
sure.
at this point. Nobody wants to see their kid hurt. And rugby looks like a really physical sport and you're not wearing any pads.
Right,
so,
right.
So how do you address that? I mean, the younger kids, you say they're not tackling, but as they get older, I mean, they can hurt each other out there, right?
So let's take a couple of steps back, and this is where I get to throw out my credentials.
Okay.
I'm actually a chiropractor, and I have an exercise science degree.
Okay.
So I've spent a lot of time looking at these issues of injury, and we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that our kids are safe because my children play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to have head injuries and have problems down the road. Statistically, rugby has a substantially lower incidence of injury, and it's because of the way the game is played. You know, let's take a football lineman. Every play of the game, he takes a hit, regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at someone like a wide receiver, when he gets hit, it's usually pretty catastrophic. It's a blind hit. Football players are taught to hit high.
Top speed, yeah.
Top speed. A lot of places they're taught to lead with their head,
mm-hmm.
which is unbelievably dangerous for the brain and the cervical spine. And mm-hmm. I've seen some pretty catastrophic stuff happen to football players because of this.
Yeah.
In rugby, the tackling is low. You know, we're taught to actually tackle around the waist. And so you're basically bringing a person to the ground versus trying to drive them back. Because if you give up 5 yards on a tackle, it can be fairly irrelevant unless you're at the goal line or any of those kind mm-hmm. of silly things. But for the most part, giving up a few yards on a tackle is not a big deal in rugby. The player's gone to ground and now the next piece of the game happens. Versus in football, you know, this is a game of inches. You've got to drive that player back. And because of that, the impact is substantially different. So an interesting thing has happened. The Seattle Seahawks were actually one of the first teams to employ rugby coaches for tackling coaches. And this started about 3 years ago when, non-coincidentally, the Seattle Seahawks defense became one of the best in the country because now these guys are actively pursuing and taking down opponents in a safe manner. And this is one of the things that we talk to. I'm hoping that there's some football coaches listening right now because we specifically tailor for our young men. We tailor this program such that it ends in the summer when football is getting ready to start. And what I'm hoping to deliver to these football coaches is a young man who has a very high level of fitness because he's been running, sprinting, attacking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for a couple of months. He's able to open field pursue an opposing player, which is a pretty tough skill. And he's able to tackle safely and recover and keep going from that. And if I can hand this player to a football coach, he's now light years ahead of someone who's out of shape and is not tackling well.
Hmm.
So there are injuries. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is an impact sport. We do not wear padding for the most part. You know, we wear mouth guards to protect teeth and protect from concussion. But the incidence of injury is substantially lower even than basketball.
Interesting. Wow. The other thing that I think is interesting here is that you think of the prototypical football player, except for a few positions, size mm-hmm. is key, right? But from what you've been telling me, that in rugby, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, the smaller sort of wiry guy has a role as well as a great big guy.
That's exactly right. I mean, everybody's got a job. I've got players on my youth team that are as big as I am. And I realize we're on radio, I'm 6'4",
yeah.
not a small guy. But we also have high school players that are barely 100 pounds. And there's a role for every one of those players in the game. It's the same thing for the adults. You know, I have people that talk to me, they see me, and they're like, I would never get on the field with you. Well, you're probably perfectly safe because there's a fairly low likelihood I'm going to be able to catch the fast, wiry guy. Right? It's kind of the way the game works. But there really is a role for all different sizes and body types. And our young women are the same way. You know, we have lots of different sizes and body types in our young women, and some are very, very fast. Some are a little bit stronger. Some are in the middle. And there's a home for everybody. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. that sounds really trite to say that, but there really is a spot for every type of athlete.
Yeah. So you've played football and you've mm-hmm. played, I'm sure, a lot of other sports. What is the thing that about this sport that makes it like, that makes you enjoy it so much? What's the sort of the skill set you use, or what's the aspect about the rhythm or the way the game evolves that you like so much?
So you're hitting the crux of the conversation, and this is. Thank you for bringing this up. It's the ethos of the sport that continues to draw me back in. Rugby is this worldwide brotherhood and sisterhood. Everywhere you go in the world, if you're a rugby player, you're welcome. I can go to Ireland, I can go to New Zealand, I can go to South Africa, I can go to Japan. And if I present myself as a rugby player, I'm typically allowed to practice, I'm allowed to play, I'm allowed to be a part of that culture. I have traveled and had people put me up because I'm a rugby player. I've had people extend courtesies, dinners, you know, those sorts of things because I'm a rugby player. I'll see somebody randomly. We were at the zoo with my dad in Palm Springs a couple years ago, and I bumped into a guy wearing a New Zealand All Black shirt. We talked for 20 minutes about rugby. I don't know the guy, but I have a new friend.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Anywhere you go, there is there's this welcoming brotherhood and sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
And on the level of the game itself, we're teaching these really strong personal skills because, first and foremost, the number one rule law of rugby is you do not argue with the referee at any level.
Hmm.
When the referee says something, that is the law. And so my 6-year-olds, my 9-year-olds, my 15-year-olds, nobody's arguing or yelling at the referee. And if they do, they sit down. I tell them that very bluntly. You don't have that opportunity. And the parents are the same way. We'll ask parents to not come watch the game if they need to be in people's faces, because there's such disrespect in so many sports of the mm-hmm. people who are volunteering their time and trying to make the game run smoothly and safely. There's no place for that in rugby. You won't even see international players argue with the referee.
Hmm.
Only the captain is allowed to speak with the referee on a regular basis. The other thing is the game is such that team is everything. There are certainly individual stars, but without the rest of the team, you're nothing. Because it's a very, very, very team-oriented sport. You know, you'll see the biggest star in the world make a pass 3 yards out from the end zone and allow his teammate to score because that's how the game works. And so if we can teach this concept to our 6-year-olds and they're raised with this strong team mentality, they now become better employees, they become better friends, they become better family members, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and mm-hmm. yeah, they're not yelling at the teacher because that's a person who
right.
they need to respect and
authority
they know
figure,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
neat.
It's the ethos of the game
yeah.
that keeps drawing us back in. And it's the game itself. I mean, honestly, I like to go out and crash into people. I was going to say,
that's for a lot of kids, that's got to be a real attraction because, you know, we're learning now that boys don't get enough opportunity to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Right? We're built for that. And we sort of are in a world that's a little bit too controlled, you know. So here's a chance to get out there and really...
It's too padded. It's too
yeah.
soft. It's too
mm-hmm.
cajoling, I believe. That's my humble mm-hmm. opinion. I see my 12-year-old son. He's at that age now. He's starting to push up against me, and he'll lean on me and want to wrestle.
Uh-huh.
And he'll poke me and run away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing that flower definitely develop, which is kind of funny because my 8-year-old daughter's the same way. So
yeah, it's
but certainly our boys need some of that. They need that competition.
Physicality.
And they
yeah.
need that physicality. Absolutely right. Because, you know, we need to grow them into men who can handle themselves emotionally and physically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So interesting. Well, I'm really... really, thank you for coming in today to tell about it. It does sound inspiring, and it sounds like something that, you know, as your youngster is just trying to decide what sport they're going to get into. I kind of think that it's really good for parents with younger kids to let them try soccer and skiing and rugby. And there's clubs around town where you can try all kinds of different sports and find out what the kid likes, you know, and then let them develop through that. So they get a level of expertise as they get older, and that enhances their self-esteem and their feeling of being part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's another choice for you folks, rugby. So and we'll have the link on our website at outdoorexplorer.org. Thanks for coming in, Judd.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Judd Wattenberger is a member of the Alaska Rugby Union, and you can find out more about that, as you heard, online. And so that's all for today's show. Our producer is Eric Bork. Our assistant producer is Hannah Duro. Join us again next week. My name is Charles Wolforth, and I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and on iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.